Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. I'm your host, Melissa. Welcome to the play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. You have children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to another episode of Raising Playful Tots. Glad you could stop by today. If you're new to the show, welcome, glad to see you here, and hi, I'm waving to the regular playmates. Plenty of room on the bubble wrap sensory slide. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Pon Sabra with some funny and touching stories about play and raising a playful tot from a culturally diverse perspective. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, I have an interview with Angelique Felix talking about baby massage and play sessions for the under fives. I hope you'll stick around. If you enjoy the show, please consider pinning on Pinterest or sharing with your friends. Thanks. I'll be right back after this short break.
Hiya, Melissa. It's Ruth here from geekmummy.com. I've been catching up with your Raising Playful Tots podcast. Try saying that three times quickly. I've been catching up with that. Really enjoy it, actually. I love it. I'm going to share it out to my my Facebook followers, because I've got a load of people who follow me on Facebook who used to listen to the podcast that I did with my husband and are tend to be interested in parenting podcasts. So I'll share it out to them. I think they'll enjoy it. I've just started listening to your most recent episode, and I've just had to pause it because I had to send you a message. You talked about using Stitcher on smartphones as an easy way of listening to your show. There is another way. It's iPhone only, unfortunately, but if you do own an iPhone, I absolutely love, there's an app called Downcast. It integrates into iTunes, but it doesn't need to be connected to your PC. So what you can do is install Downcast, and then it gives you a sort of a mechanism for downloading podcasts directly to your iPhone and playing them. So you can install the app, go into the app, and then you can say add a show, search for existing shows, and you can search for the show name, and it's got access to all the shows that are available in iTunes. So it's really easy to just go into it, add the Raising Playful Tots show, and then it will, when you go into the app, it'll check to see if there's a new show available, and it'll download it for you if it is. I use it loads because I listen to all my audio boos that way as well, because you can also get it to download an RSS feed. So I listen to all my followed audio boos, and I have all of the podcasts that I follow, and I find it a lot more reliable than using iTunes on my PC. So I thought, if you're looking to give people other ways of listening to your show, that's the way I listen to Raising Playful Tots, and it's working really well for me.
Today I'm talking to Angelique Felix. She creates safe places where parents can play with their children that are 0 to 6 years old. Angelique is a certified infant massage instructor for the International Association of Infant Massage. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Melissa.
What is baby massage, Angelique?
Baby massage is a unique way of being together with your child. It's a way of communicating, of speaking with your child without using words. And I always explain it as another way, another form of play, because play can be messy. It can be done in the outdoors. It can be done with music. And this is a way of playing in which an adult is talking to his or her child by hugs, love, embraces, touching. So a physical contact.
Is it something that anybody can do?
I think everybody can do it. Sometimes I think everybody is already doing it. If you become a mom or a dad from a newborn baby, it's a natural instinct to touch the baby, to love the baby, to give the baby everything that you feel inside of your heart. So it's something that comes very natural. The only thing that I add to it as an instructor is giving a parent the security how to touch the baby in a certain kind of way, how some kind of technique, massage techniques. That's what I'm transmitting in my baby massage courses.
So why is baby massage important then?
Well, it has many advantages. We can dedicate a separate show to that. But I think the most important thing is it's creating a bonding moment, a moment where a parent is creating a safe environment for a baby to be how the baby is without judging the baby because it's not feeling good. Well, it's creating a safe environment by touch. And by creating this feeling, a baby will remember in time of need or when it's feeling not safe, where it can go to find protection. That is that physical object that is called mom or dad. So I hope I'm clear. This is what I'm always trying to transmit. By massaging a baby, you give the baby the idea that hands are safe, where you can go when you feel not safe, where you want to go when you want to feel protected. So this is a vital element for a good start of life for a baby, to feel safe and protected.
Oh, that's a good explanation there. Is there a window of time then that baby massage is the most effective? When should you start really early?
I think you can start immediately at birth. There have been done researches, especially with premature babies, where the hands of a mother or a father or a loving adult can rest on a baby's body and cover a baby, having the meaning of a warm blanket. It's always this kind of protection that you are trying to transfer to the emotional world of a baby. So, you can start as early as possible. The most important thing is that you always watch the baby cues. So how is baby responding to your touch? Then if you are able to see if a baby is feeling good, rested, well-fed, then a massage can be done at any time.
That's really important what you said about looking at the baby's cues, because yes, as a new parent, we're not always sure about what everything means, but you start to learn quite quickly as they're, pulling up their legs, and, you can just tell by their facial movements whether they like what you're doing or not. And just holding them close to you and doing all sorts of different things, you really get to learn a lot more about what your baby needs rather than just, them sitting in the chair, not chair, the baby pouch things, and you just kind of look at them. It's very difficult to see what they need, but once you're actually touching and laying hands on them and moving with them, you really can get a sense of what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, you say it very well. It's all about that, observing a baby, see how they move, see how their eyes are blinking or not, if they are making sounds or turning away their head. Those are very important signs.
So let's think about a new parent who thinks, they've seen a card for a baby massage and they're just not quite sure whether this is the right thing for them. If you went along to maybe one of your sessions, what might they see happen?
Everything. Okay. I mean, you are dealing with newborn babies, you are dealing with young children, because, of course, a massage is not stopping at the age of one. My child is six and I'm still massaging her. So it has no age limit. This is what I would like to mention. But everything can happen in a session because you are dealing with people and there is nothing changeable as working with a person. So the most important thing is what happens in a session is that baby's needs are fulfilled. This is the most important thing. And of course, I am trying to transmit how to massage one or two body parts in a baby massage course, because in the end, it takes five courses to work on the whole body of a baby. So in every session, you work on one or two body parts. And you can do that in many different ways. Every instructor does it in its own way. I do it in a very playful way, but there are also people who do it in that what suits them best. So if you would like to know what is a good therapist or yeah. where do you look at,
yes.
I think a person who speaks less and who listens more.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a good therapist. It's not about... we are no doctors, that is what I'm always saying, because parents many times ask a lot of questions, but my baby is reacting like this, what does it mean? I am not a doctor and I am not the expert of your child. You are as a parent. So that what we are always doing inside of a group is creating a safe meeting place where moms can ask questions, can answer their own questions because they know all the answers, or dads. Yeah, that is a bit what it's all about.
So how many would you say can come to a session? I mean, roughly?
Would there five.
Be, okay, five people five. In the session.
Yeah, yeah,
well, that's
yeah.
pretty good, because when you have a young baby who takes a long time to get ready to go anywhere. I remember those days where you had to pack exactly. this huge, humongous bag to get out of the house. Sometimes it can feel like too much work. But when you go to these type of baby massage sessions or baby yoga or other ones, I know lots of people think, why bother doing these types of activities? But apart from the brilliant things that you've already outlined, I would say it's the camaraderie that you get when you're with other parents that are experiencing the same thing. You must make lots of really good friends that way. Do you see with your groups that the mums and the parents in those groups become good friends afterwards?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it works like that. You find each other easily, and you know, being a mom, it can be very lonely. And you have a lot of questions, and I think that's why blogging became also so important, because moms are uniting, are connecting to each other on a virtual, in a virtual space. And yeah, I see that mothers, but also fathers, really find it very helpful to meet once or twice a week doing these kind of activities.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I think we should do it more, even though it seems like a lot of effort to do, first of all, especially if you're tired and all of those things. But I think it's absolutely well worth it. I've lived in lots of different places, and so where I gave birth to all three of my children, I've not been able to see those same people all the way through the journeys as they've got older. And now a lot of people have that experience where they, the same hospital that they gave birth in with their son or daughter, they know those parents for years and years and years, and the children all grow up together. But I wouldn't be without going to all of these play activities and yeah. meeting different people each time. Whenever I've moved to a different area, that's been one of the first things I've tried to do, is find the play classes and the play things, find parents that are like how I think and feel, and go and connect with them.
Yes, yeah, I agree, absolutely. I think finding like-minded people is creating magic in your life and makes life so much more easier, so yes. much more fun, especially. Yeah. We need more fun in our life.
You know? We do. And it's a lot calmer as well. It's not so stressful.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how important is it for parents to actually join in with baby play? Because babies don't do very much, let's face it. And I think parents, we get caught up with the feeding, changing, sleeping, burping aspects of babies. But mm-hmm. to say that we need to play with them, do we really need to do that?
Well, yes, we do. If you ask me why and how do we need to play with our babies, I think most of all, we let's start at the beginning. I think we need to play in our lives to fulfill the needs of our own inner child. That's what we have inside of us. That's the first important reason. And then why should you play with your newborn baby or with a toddler? It's because you have play is the perfect tool to understand a child. And it's a perfect tool for a child to make itself understandable at his towards its parents. So when a baby is playing, you can see, you can understand what are the interests of my baby. You can see the level of development of a baby. You can really follow your child. And that's what it's all about, to put your child in the center of attention. And from that point, life becomes so much easier. You start to speak the same language because you understand each other. So there is less frustration in education. And it's better to start with that at a very young age. That's what I'm saying. Besides all the beautiful cognitive, social, emotional abilities that a child can take inside of a playful moment.
That's brilliant. I agree, but it's hard sometimes when you're a new parent because everything is so new that sometimes we need to be reminded about the fun things that we can be doing with our kids at this stage. It was just a big whole long list of processes that you have to keep going with. Feed them carefully, change them, make sure, you know, all of these can be really boring and repetitive, but there are some really fun things that you can get going with babies that we've talked about in other shows as well as this show.
Yes, exactly. And you know, anyway, a baby always needs to be changed and always need to be fed. So why don't you introduce a playful element inside of those moments? Don't make play something that is just doing one moment a day. My philosophy is that play you can do during the whole day in every kind of situation, in every kind of moment.
You're absolutely right. Today I'm talking to Angelique Felix, infant massage instructor and organizer of play sessions at the Magic of Play. You can find her on Twitter at Angelique Felix and on Facebook at AngeliqueFelix.com. That's AngeliqueFelix.com. So, Angelique, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you've come to be doing what you're doing.
How much time do I have? I live in Italy. I am Dutch. I live in Italy since 10 years. I've been traveling a lot between the Netherlands and Italy, organizing play sessions in my own country and in my new country. It's a very interesting process to see how many cultural differences there are between two European countries. And in the same time, I've noticed that play doesn't make any kind of difference at all. All children know how to play and they all speak the same language. So that's very beautiful. I started to become a fairy. That's what I do as a profession. I am a fairy and I make magic. And I started to do this on a professional base, I think like 2 or 3 years ago. And that was a huge change in my life to start my blog, start my site and bring out that what I really believe in. So that's a bit who I am, what I do. I am a mom and my child is 6 years old.
That's brilliant. You mentioned that you're from one place and you live in another place, so you get to travel around. And you said that there are play differences and experiences mostly between the cultures rather than the children. Could you explain a little bit more about what those differences might be? Curious.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is the independency of the children. I mean, Dutch children are very, I think we Dutch people are open-minded people who travel a lot, who speak all languages. And also you see this effect on a child. A mom has a child in the Netherlands and after 3 months they start to go back to work. So a child has been brought already at a very young age to childcare centers. And when I go and play inside of these centers or I play together with moms, I see how children can move independently in a space without always being supported by an adult in that. While here in Italy, the situation is completely different. That has a positive effect and a less positive effect. The positive thing is that people, children are being raised by their own mother for the first year of their life. Mothers stay at home and have the possibility to stay at home with their children. While the other side is that children start at a later age to become, to have the sense of being a separate being from their parents. So there is more arranged, more organized. Adults think more for the children as the children think more for themselves. I hope that I'm clear on what I'm trying to say.
I understand what you're saying, that it is really interesting, I think, when you go to different places, how it is. I've found coming back to the UK, just in my small area and my small sample of seeing that there are a lot of parents that bring their children to events and leave the children to do the events. But when they take the children home, they're not as keen to do many types of activities or things with them. They feel that, well, I take them to this club or I take them to this activity. That's where they did it. And when they're at home, they just can do kind of anything that we're around, and that's fine too. I mean, it's an observation, it's not a comment on whether it's right or wrong. It's just really interesting, after you've lived in different places, it is really interesting how different countries do different things. I wonder what it's like in Australia or Canada how they do it too.
Absolutely, yeah, it's very interesting to see.
You do video as well. And really good video as well. I was listening to the I think it's the Moon and the Sun one, when you were doing that retelling of the story with props.
Yes.
That you had on your YouTube channel. That's something that's pretty difficult to do. You know, get a YouTube channel, it's very popular. You have lots of things that are going on there. What's your most viewed video, would you say?
Well, I tube in three languages, so that's English, Italian, and Dutch. And I think on my English, the English part, the most watched videos is my Peekaboo song that I made, looking at my baby who was playing with the curtains in the house, and she was hiding behind the curtains and coming out. And I filmed that and I put it on YouTube and I put a song under it. I wrote my own song, and I think that's being watched over 10,000 times. So yeah, that's people like those kind of activities. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to do. It's another kind of communicating towards your public. So in the blogging world, it's all about pictures and text, and some people like to have more visualization, like to have moving pictures to get the idea in a quick way, in a quick and easy way. So that's why YouTube is a perfect instrument.
I think also the way that you retold those stories, or the story that I was watching with the props, really gives you a sense of how to do it as well. Because, you know, we were all working and doing other things, and then we had children. And for some of us, you know, we didn't have young siblings, or babies were, you know, this is the first baby we've had in a very long time. And to think, well, how do I animate this puppet? I feel very self-conscious. I don't know what to do with it. But then when we watch your video and hear the voices and see what you're doing, we really can see that we can try and do something similar. It doesn't have to be exactly the same. But you kind of realize that, okay, I can do it like that. And so that's why I really like the way that you've used video in that way for play and play activities. It's kind of a sharing thing. And you can have your little son or daughter on your lap and watch that video too if you wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. That's what a lot of parents are doing who are writing me. They say, we sit together, we watch your videos or we watch your songs. And of course, I would like the parents to watch the videos too, because then after they can, as you said, reproduce it themselves. And that's how a learning moment is starting to grow and to be and started to really live.
Yeah, exactly. True. Can you give us the name of your YouTube channel?
Yes, my YouTube channels are Angelique Felix. So the same as what you already spelled before.
Yep.
And then there is the songs channel is the Mama Italia.
Okay. Very nice. I have a few getting to know you questions that I ask on the show, and I hope you've had a chance to have a quick look at those.
Okay, yes.
What are two actions that you've taken in the last 2 years that have had a positive effect on your life?
The first and most important is that I started to accept the way I am. And to not be ashamed of how I do and what I do, and that I do things in my own way. So I really started to love myself. I think that is the most important thing that happened to me in the last 2 years. And the effect of that was that I started to blog. I started to hang out my creations, I always say it like that, and to bring inside the world the passion of play, my passion of play.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's really nice to be able to just be comfortable in your own skin like that and do something. It's great.
Yeah, you say beautiful. Comfortable in my own skin. Yeah, beautiful.
So what were you doing 12 years ago?
I was working in the Netherlands and close to Amsterdam. Amsterdam is a beautiful multicultural city. And I was organizing networks inside schools, and those schools are called community schools, and it's a kind of trend that came over from the United States that is saying it takes a village to raise a child. So how many organizations can work and collaborate together in a school besides teachers, volunteers, grandparents, musical schools, dance schools? So bring a program of daily life inside of a school program. That is what I was doing.
Wow, that sounds really exciting. Is it still going?
Yeah. Very. It became very big, these kind of movements in the Netherlands. And you see now that though it's not called community schools anymore, now they are called integrating child centers, something like that. So integrating where a child is being raised from 0 to 18 and where it can see different parts of society. And it's working. It seems to be working. Yeah, great. Oh,
that sounds really exciting. So what's the favorite play activity that's going on in your house at the moment with your daughter, perhaps?
Jumping on the bed.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we jump a lot on the bed. We do a lot of yoga activities on the bed. I am making an English ebook now. It's called Tea for Two, Playful Bonding Moments Between Parent and Child. And I will put inside 5 unique video activities that I taped me and my child doing yoga on the bed. And it's becoming very cute, very nice.
Oh, so brilliant.
If you subscribe to my newsletter, people will get this ebook automatically when it's ready.
Brilliant. And where would we find your newsletter?
On my website. You can go to angeliquefelix.com and there you can subscribe to my newsletter.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Angelique. It's been great talking about baby massage and baby play activities that we can be doing.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great speaking about this very important topic.
You're welcome. I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Tara from booksbytara.com, and you are listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. It's always great to talk to brilliant guests like Angelique Felix, who's excited about play and wants to share their information, especially about baby massage. Also, thanks a lot to Ruth from geekmummy.com for calling in and telling us all about another way that we can listen to the show in a different format, especially if you have an iPhone. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Thanks a lot, guys. At the top of the show, I talked about plenty of room on the bubble wrap sensory slide. That was a plug for Crystal of Growing a Jeweled Rose. Her daughters are having a fantastic time with bubble wrap, shaving cream, and food coloring. Another one, you just have to see the pictures to see how much fun you can be having with your child. Outside, in the kitchen, on a tiled floor, you name it, you can do it. And you know what? Bubble wrap is everywhere. You find it in these containers that things are sent to you. It's reusable. It's one of those activities that you're really going to enjoy and be able to use over and over again. Brilliant, brilliant. If you want to see how to do it or how they did it and participate in all the fun, you need to go to growingajeweledrose.com and look for the post Play with Bubble Wrap and Shaving Cream. The Come Sew With Me meme has a bunch of posts now of people sharing their seeds. This is the perfect time of year in early May to be planting seeds, maybe seeds in pots, maybe seeds outside. It's a great way also to talk about how in other countries they have to plant seeds for food. It's a great way to introduce that conversation to your children and talk about it in a non-threatening way, non-preachy kind of way, but just kind of talk about, you know, some people are planting things for flowers, for pleasure, and some things that are sometimes they're planting things for food. That post, the Come Sew With Me meme, is part of the One.org's campaign that's going on at the moment. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to my site, play-activities.com, to learn more about that. If you have a seed post or a seed picture that you want to share, then feel free to come on over to the Come Sew With Me meme at Play Activities and leave your pictures there for us all to see. There's quite a few there already, so you should pop over and have a look. A lot of fun to see all of you planting so many different types of seeds. This week, I also made some seeded paper. I've got a tutorial over on Play Activities. Also, where another way that you can use seeds is actually to make seeded paper. It's one of those popular things that started to happen with weddings where you'd get invitations on seeded paper. And it's actually really easy to make. You just use paper that you already have and you mush it all up, add the seed paper, and then let it dry. That's the basis of it. But it's a project, and the best thing about this project is it lasts a long time. You don't have to do everything all at once on the same day. You can do it in stages, and you can do it as big or as small as you want. Because it's gloopy and messy and mucky and fun, they can get their hands inside. You can choose all different types of things to do with it. We used small seeds and big seeds. We used shaped seeded paper for a change this time, as well as small pieces of seeded paper rather than a big sheet. We've done seeded paper before, so this was just a new way of doing it. We took all afternoon and had a lot of fun doing it, and you'll see all the pictures of how to do it. I've done a tutorial and linked to some other people that have done some seeded paper as well. It's well worth doing if you have a toddler or a preschooler at home, and even if you have older children. I have two older children that are older than five now, and they helped their youngest brother to do the seed paper too. We had a lot of fun doing that. Sometimes we can't or don't have the opportunity to advocate for early childhood. It's quite something to see those who have been before us and paved the way for many of the reforms that we see now and the laws and the rights that so many children have and enjoy. And I wanted to share with you a quote from Marion Wright Edelman. I think that's how you say her name. And she's a children's advocate. What's wrong with our children? Adults telling children to be honest while lying and cheating. Adults telling children not to be violent while marketing and glorifying violence. I believe that adult hypocrisy is the biggest problem children face in America. I thought that was quite a powerful quote there, because it really cuts to the heart of what early childhood is all about, and that's teaching our children to do the right thing. And if what we say is not the same as what we do, then we get ourselves into all sorts of trouble. It can be really tricky. I don't think that there is a one-size-fits-all. There will be some situations where you will feel that it's okay to bend the truth, tell a white lie. There will be a time when you'll think that it's okay to do certain actions. But all in all, I think we have to think very carefully about what we decide is the best thing for our family. How we are raising our children, what are we deciding are the right things to do? And it's okay to change our minds. Today, we might feel that it's important that our children aren't playing with certain toys or aren't doing certain actions or being around certain people. And as they grow and mature, we might feel that they are able to better cope with those situations or actually be in those situations. I think it's such a personal issue, but it's something that I think that Marion Wright Edelman really, really puts her finger on there, is that we as parents must be consistent about the way in which we do something, consistent for a good amount of time, not just a 2-minute flash in the pan wonder of, well, I fancy doing this, so I'm just going to do it, and then next week we completely go the opposite. If we can really think through what we're doing, make some really good choices about why we're doing it, then our early childhood children, our children under 5, will benefit so much more when we do that. If you want to read more about Marion Wright Edelman, I've left a link for that in the show notes. We're big fans of alphabet activities on Raising Playful Tots. And you remember Ali, who's a longtime friend from notimeforflashcards.com, recently was on the show, and we were talking all about balancing work and playtime and finding the time to play. If you missed that show, it's probably the most popular show we've had this year, and it's show number 90. Ali has a popular ebook all about craft activities using the alphabet. I've also produced a sensory alphabet book, which worked so well with my moving active boys, and it's all about action and process. When you buy my sensory book, there's a special code in there that Ali's given us where you'll be able to get her book, so you'll be able to have a book all about product-based activities that are really popular and very easy to do from her book, and process type activities that are very easy to do, and really they complement each other, especially when you're not sure what type of day your child's having and you want to try an activity, and maybe they're ready for a sit-down activity where they're doing some alphabet work, or maybe they're in the mood for some running around type activity. You've got the best of both of those right there. One aspect of the book that I haven't talked about that much in the sensory alphabet activity book, not only is there audio there and activities for you to do, and the audio are from other early childhood educators that are giving us some extra special advice about the alphabet, I've also included some books for you to look through and look up and read with your child and find special letters that are inside of it. And these aren't just any old books. These are books that represent the diversity in our world. I feel that it's one of those things that is so easily overlooked, is that there aren't a lot of books that are diverse. They don't have many children's books with children inside of it, of people from a different color, different nationality, a different race. Now, for many people, that's not a big deal. It doesn't really bother them. They feel that it's not something that they would necessarily go out and do. But there are also lots and lots of children that, when they see themselves in a book, are just amazed, fascinated. And we would all love the ability to be able to look in a book and see ourselves reflected back at us. And so I've chosen, especially for my children, books that we have at home and books that we have read or books that we have seen and would love to read that feature children of a diverse background. So it's not just children that have a different colour, but children from different places as well. And so I would really encourage you to think about that as well when you're looking at your alphabet books, is to look for books that represent children from different places, because it allows you to have those conversations. And even if it doesn't result in a conversation, it allows the children to just notice and see and accept, and you are able to talk about things in a completely different way. If they don't see, they don't know, and you're not able to have a talk about it. I think the hardest thing that parents have when talking about race or colour or anything like that is that children seem to bring up these questions at the most inopportune moments and really loud. And then parents feel that they don't want to answer that question right now, or feel that the answer that they might give might be wrong, so they don't want to say anything. And it's just awkward for everybody, for those that are listening, for the parents themselves, and the children pick up on the awkwardness, not necessarily knowing why, but not understanding what the big deal is. So having books like this, you know, your child's sitting on your lap, you're doing an activity, you can see it, you can point it out, you don't have to point it out, you can notice it, you don't have to notice it, but if it's there and available, you're at home, perfect opportunity, if the question comes up, the question arises, that you can have a conversation about it. The reason why I'm talking about alphabet activities also is that Ali has put together a fantastic post highlighting 25 alphabet activities. You've got activities from the alphabet peg dolls, which are amazing, to learning on the go. There's something from the toddler all the way up to fun alphabet activities that are great for preschoolers. Now, these alphabet activities aren't just sit-down alphabet activities with a pencil and paper and writing and, you know, fine motor skills. Instead, Ali has highlighted alphabet activities that are all about play. They involve whole body, they involve messy aspects, they involve making things, they involve everyday items that you can find around the home. So it's well worth bookmarking that post to get you going on your alphabet activities, easing them gently into the fun activities that they're doing. And what's great is that Ali features her children in these posts, and so you can see by the age of the child that you can be all sorts of different ages and still get your alphabet fun activities in, and you really don't have to be sitting down at a table writing your alphabet from A to Z. I'll leave the link for that in the show notes, but you can nip on over to notimeforflashcards.com and look for 25 alphabet activities. Lastly, I was honoured to be asked to guest post on Crayon Freckles this week as part of an amazing series called In Her Shoes. Andy asked guest posters that are parents with a big heart for early childhood play. And we're all bloggers, and you get to know a little bit more about us as we step out from behind our children and our blogs and reveal what it's like a little in our homes. You can find that post over at, let me find the link here, crayonfreckles.com, In Her Shoes. Thanks for coming to play today. I hope you're having a great week full of play activities and opportunities. If you've got a comment about the show, use a free voicemail on the site. It's one click to record, or you can drop by on Facebook and tell us what you're doing. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 97. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!